Welcome to the St. Michael Daily Meditations for Lent. My name is Chris Garrata, and I will be leading our meditation today. Our theme this Lent is In the Garden. When Jesus faced his deepest trial, he prayed in the garden. As we struggle with our own trials, Jesus walks with us and calls us to a deeper life of prayer and commitment to God's love. As Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." A reading from Exodus chapter 7. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "When Pharaoh says to you, 'Perform a wonder,' then you shall say to Aaron, 'Take your staff and throw it down before Pharaoh, and it will become a snake.'" So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did as the Lord had commanded. Aaron threw down his staff before Pharaoh and his officials, and it became a snake. Then Pharaoh summoned the wise men and the sorcerers, and they also, the magicians of Egypt, did the same by their secret arts. Each one threw down his staff, and they became snakes. But Aaron's staff swallowed up theirs. Still, Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them, as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning, as he is going out to the water. Stand by at the riverbank to meet him, and take your hand the staff that was turned into a snake. Say to him, 'The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, sent me to say to you, let my people go, so that they may worship me in the wilderness. But until now, you have not listened.' Thus says the Lord, 'By this you shall know that I am the Lord. See, with the staff that is in my hand, I will strike the water that is in the Nile, and it shall be turned to blood. The fish in the river shall die, the river itself shall stink, and the Egyptians shall be unable to drink water from the Nile.'" The Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, 'Take your staff and stretch out your hands over the waters of Egypt, over its rivers, its canals, and its ponds, and its pools of water, so that they may become blood. And there shall be blood throughout the whole land of Egypt, even in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone.'" Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord commanded. In the sight of Pharaoh and of his officials, he lifted up the staff and struck the water in the river. And all the water in the river was turned into blood, and the fish in the river died. The river stank so that the Egyptians could not drink its water. And there was blood throughout the whole land of Egypt. But the magicians of Egypt did the same by their secret arts. So Pharaoh's heart remained hardened, and he would not listen to them as the Lord had said. Pharaoh turned and went into his house, and he did not even take this to heart. And all the Egyptians had to dig along the Nile for water to drink, for they could not drink the water of the river. Here ends the reading. The story of Israel's captivity in Egypt is a dynamic one. Now, I'm sure we're all familiar with the story in one form or another. As a child, I remember watching the old movie Ten Commandments at Easter. The spectacle of that movie was incredible. Although there were many facets of that movie and of the biblical story that fascinated me, this particular scene was always puzzling for one specific reason. Why did Pharaoh's magicians do the same thing to the water that Aaron did? Now, if you look at this passage in your Bible, the passage likely has the title, The First Plague. This moment kicks off the 10 plagues that will ultimately convince Pharaoh to let the Israelites go. The plagues were part of the grand story of freeing the Israelites, but the plagues were fundamentally a bad thing. I mean, by definition, plagues pained the Egyptian people so much that Pharaoh had no excuse but to give in. However, as this period of plagues begins, we see an odd moment when the Egyptian leadership responds to the plague by matching the plague itself. When Aaron's staff touches the water and turns the water to blood, we're told that the official magicians of the Egyptian court did the same thing. It's as if they wanted to prove their strength by hurting the people just as much. Now, this scene is so strange. Why would the Egyptian leaders do something that hurt their people just to demonstrate their power? This is a tricky line to walk, because God's purposes are being worked out in troubling ways just as the human leadership structure resists God. Although we can debate the literal nature of these stories, I want to encourage us to focus on the truth behind the literal details. The truth in this story is just how obsessed our world can be in maintaining control. We live in a world that wants to influence who we are and what we do. The number of people and institutions who wish to push and pull our hearts and minds are endless. Into that world steps Jesus, who calls us to look beyond the power structure of this world to see the cosmic promise of God. Now, most of the time, we are caught in the pressures of achievement, seeking to grab as much power and authority and security and stability as we can. We are taught to gain and accumulate. And when we're good at that, we find that we become more interested in maintaining whatever we've accumulated than we are in using what we've accumulated for a good purpose. And what's hardest about getting swept up in achievement culture is that the world is built that way too. Just consider how today's story is told. Pharaoh is faced with a man who is forcing him to change. Rather than submit to that change or even defend against that change, Pharaoh spites himself by causing more trouble just to show his strength. Rather than using his authority to clean up the bloody mess that Aaron's staff causes, Pharaoh doubles down his resistance by thumbing his nose at the suffering by causing more suffering. I mean, it's wild. Until we realize that we often find ourselves in the same position, think back to the last time someone pushed your buttons or offended you in some way. Far too often, we don't respond to being pushed or offended by seeking a thoughtful resolution. We match, either pushing back or folding up. The reality is, we are flawed humans who struggle in tense moments. But with Christ, we can grow over time to become more like the people God created us to be. As we near the end of Lent, we approach Holy Week. The offerings during Holy Week are unique and beautiful, and I hope you'll take advantage of them. Walking the way of Lent together is a gift that helps us shape with intentionality, and gathering for the beauty of Holy Week reminds us just how much God plays a role in helping us become who we are meant to be. You and I, we are loved very deeply, so deeply that God would come to be with us in our human mess. And as we approach Easter, let's lean into that love and grace even more and more. Amen. Please join me as we continue with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, you alone can bring into order the unruly wills and affections of sinners. Grant your people grace to love what you command and desire what you promise, that among the swift and varied changes of the world, our hearts may surely there be fixed where true joys are to be found. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.